good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, if you've been with us during this Christmas season, you know we're doing a four-part series on a portrait of God that I call He is Our Eternal Hope. And this is broadcast 4 out of 4. We're going to wrap it up today as Christmas has come and gone earlier this week. And we're savoring all that the Lord has done for us in coming. That is His advent and His coming to, well, die for the sins of the world eventually. But we're celebrating His coming, the advent of the Lord, and how He is indeed our eternal hope. And we've looked at how the Lord has manifested Himself in so many different ways. And so, as we take our journey and wrap it up today, we're going to be looking at the Lord through the eyes of the shepherd, the eyes of Simeon, and the eyes of the Magi, or the wise man who came. And if you have your Bibles, let me invite you to make your way over to Luke chapter 2, where we will start today. And just a quick reminder as you're making your way there that all of these 27-minute broadcasts are archived on my website at markpg.org. I call it Helping You Hear God, because there are several tools. On the landing page, you'll see a box that has printed guides on all kinds of topics, another box with videos, 3-minute videos on Portrait of God, another one with articles I've written for local publications, and then a box that says Broadcasts. Click on that one. And then the next landing page, just click on Portraits of God, and boom, you'll have a list of all the recent messages that I've been sharing with you via the airways. So today, we'll continue and finish up our journey in discovering how the Lord is our eternal hope, who answers our yearning hope. Let's go before the Lord, as is our custom then, and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, thank You for being the kind of God who loves to speak to us. You love to give us all kinds of hope because we struggle with that so easily, so regularly. And so, Father, as we just prepare to take this journey through Your love letters to us and look at what happened in the lives of the shepherds when an angel appeared to them, and then Simeon when Jesus was brought into the temple, and then the Magi, who searched and found the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Oh, Lord, I just pray You'll open our hearts to receive the truths that You have embedded in these narratives. So thank You, Lord, for the privilege of going through Your love letters together as we are seeing how You are indeed our eternal hope. Oh, we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends, just to kind of set the table briefly, we have been taking this four-part journey by discovering that the Lord, our eternal hope, number one, strengthens our fragile hope. Isn't it true that our hope gets very fragile? And so we took a look at how this Christmas story actually began in eternity past, not the day Jesus was born. I mean, it all began in eternity past. We saw that in John 1:1. We saw this also through the eyes of Zacharias, how his fragile hope was strengthened. And so as we continue our journey together, then we went to the second week and saw how He blesses our humble hope. And we saw this through the life of Mary. And then third, we looked at the life of Joseph and saw how the Lord not only strengthens our fragile heart and blesses our humble, He strengthens our fragile hope and He blesses our humble hope, but He also honors our trustful hope. And we saw that again through the eyes of Joseph. And then we come to number four, and that's today, how He answers our yearning hope. Now, we know that the children of Israel, who were brought up in the Scriptures faithfully, had a yearning for the coming of Messiah, and undoubtedly it included some shepherds. And I believe, obviously, this was depicted in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 18, where we read this classic portion of the Christmas story. Luke 8, beginning in verse 8. So in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Now verse 12, "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Now let me stop there for a moment. Can you imagine that? You're out in a region of fields watching your flock in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden an angel comes, and not only does he come, he starts speaking, and not only does he speak, he gives you prophecies that are being fulfilled and saying, "This is happening today, guys, and I'm telling you about it." And then a bunch of angels show up. I mean, are you picturing what this is like? Can you picture yourself as a shepherd who perhaps had been taught all of the prophecies to expect Messiah someday, and now you're getting this angelic presence and this angelic multitude after 400 years of silence between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament, and you're getting it. You're experiencing it. You've been selected to receive the message from God by his angels that Messiah has come. He is here. These multitude of angels shows up. They start praising the Lord. "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Wow. Well, I'm impressed with verse 15 and following as well. "When the angels had gone away," woof, "from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.'" Now, I just love this. "Let us go straight to Bethlehem. Let's go now." So they went in a hurry. Verse 16. "They came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger." And then verse 17. "When they had seen this," what did they see? "They saw the holy couple." Now, it sounds nice and glorious and clean, but these shepherds who were used to animal smells, but smelling them out in the field, now come to the stable, and the fulfillment of every glorious thing that the angel had just said to them and the others had sang about is right there with a teenage young man, a teenage young woman holding a brand newly born babe, with animals probably around, it not being the cleanest of sights, and yet they saw deeper. They saw the spiritual, supernatural dynamic that had been made known to them. And so verse 17 says, "When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds." The yearning hope of these shepherds, the yearning hope of Mary and Joseph, the yearning hope of all those who began to hear what the angels were what the shepherds were freely sharing, what the angels had said, all of their yearning hope was being answered. Now let's be clear and let's be fair. It was a long time before the answer came from the Lord regarding the yearning hope of the children of Israel. As I mentioned earlier, 400 years of silence, yearning for hope, and yet you press on so that when the time comes, you are ready to receive it, believe it, and act on it. Oh, my friends, your yearning is not in vain, especially if it's a long season of yearning. Keep yearning. Keep hope. Keep watch. Keep an open heart so that when the Lord does, in some way, answer your yearning hope, maybe for an illness situation in your family, maybe for finances, maybe for some people that you love to come to Christ, maybe for your church to be healed from some turmoil and strife or going through a transition period, whatever it is, you're yearning for something. You know what it is to yearn? Yearning to get back home after you've been overseas for quite a while. I kind of get antsy after about the 7th, 8th, 9th day and ready by the 10th to 14th day. I want to come home. I yearn to be with my wife, my family, my home. Or yearning for a drink of water when you've been working hard or running a marathon or whatever you're doing. You yearn. And when it gets met, oh, how it fills your soul. And that was the shepherds. As the Lord, our eternal hope, was answering their yearning hope. But the scripture gives us another story, also here in Luke chapter 2, as we get to verse 25 and following, because the story here gives us a man by the name of Simeon who was yearning for the coming of the Lord, for Messiah to come, for the prophecies to be revealed. Simeon was a priest, and so the scripture tells us that Mary and Joseph were fulfilling the customs of the law, 8th day circumcision, and then after 40 days, her purification and all those things. So they were devoutly going to temple in Jerusalem, and Simeon was there. He was led by the Spirit to be there. And here's how it unfolds in Luke chapter 2, verse 25. I love this story. Yearning hope of Simeon. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, yearning for the consolation of Israel, which he knew would only come when Messiah would be given and revealed. So, here's Simeon, righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And verse 27, and he came in the Spirit into the temple. And by the way, that many commentators would say, you know, this is just an indication that he lived daily by the Spirit, listening for the Spirit, as we should as well. You never know when the Lord's going to have you go somewhere. He's going to send you somewhere for something special. Be attentive. As you walk in the Spirit, listen for the whispers of God. Don't ignore them. He didn't ignore it. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and he blessed God. Now, I'm going to stop there a moment. I get this vivid picture of a faithful, righteous, and devout priest of God who was yearning for the consolation of Israel, receiving a promise from the Lord, apparently, that he would not die until he had seen the coming Messiah, the Lord's Christ. I picture him led by the Spirit, listening to the Spirit, seeing Mary and Joseph come in, sharing the story, he takes him into his arms Oh, I can just imagine him holding him closely, rocking back and forth, eyes closed, and blessing God, saying, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant," that's referring to himself, "to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." Oh, that is stunning to me. How poignant. This man, totally devoted to God, a heart connected to God, spirit to spirit, and the promise that he had been given, the thing that he had been yearning for, has finally come. Messiah as a baby to be blessed. And with that fulfillment of his being able, him being able to take him into his arms and see the promised Messiah, he says, "Oh, now, Lord, you can release your bondservant to depart in peace." By the way, I have to say, I love this way of phrasing it. You're releasing me now, Lord. You're letting me depart in peace. You know, sometimes the Lord has us stay in a place, stay in a state of yearning for something, and sometimes we just want to give up. We want to write it off. You know what? It's been too long. It's not going to happen. I'm out of here. Don't. You're not released yet. Stay in that spirit of yearning hope. Trust the Lord that he will one day answer it, no matter how long it takes. And when it does happen, then you have the release. Okay, I'm releasing you now. You've been faithful. You've stayed in place and yearned for the thing that you've been praying for, that I've been promising you. You can depart in peace. I love that. Verse 30, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of the peoples, the light of revelation to the Gentiles, the glory of your people, Israel." I just love how the Lord, coming as Messiah, is seen as the light of the world. He's going to light up the world. He's going to light up the hearts of men and women. He's going to light up the life of his children and even the Gentiles, all those who would receive him as Messiah. Oh, I love that. Oh, the Lord is our eternal hope, who answers our yearning hope. Let's see it in one more narrative as we look at the Magi, the wise men who came to see the Messiah who had come. Let's pick it up in Matthew chapter 2 if you have your Bibles, and I'm going to just pick it up in verse 1 there, where the Bible says this: "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem." Now let's stop there a moment. Now, I absolutely do appreciate and love and totally understand our depictions of the Christmas story and many churches where the Magi show up on that night in Bethlehem, and along with the shepherds and the animals and all that stuff. And it's a beautiful little compression of the story. But in actuality, the wise men or the Magi didn't arrive in Jerusalem on the day of his birth. This says, "Now, Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah in the days of Herod the king, but they arrived in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" So this was after the Lord was already born. "And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And gathering..." By the way, why was he troubled? Because he's saying this is the king of the Jews. King of the Jews! Wait a minute, I know these prophecies. He's going to have the government on his shoulders. This could be a takeover thing. And of course he was going to be fearful. Now verse 3. "When Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he began to inquire of them where the Christ was to be born. That's a pretty smart move. Gather up the holy men who know the scriptures inside and out. This is a threat. Let me pretend I'm interested to worship him. You're going to see that more later. And have these guys help me figure out where he was to be born. Verse 5, they said to him, well, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler. Now, don't you know he just jumped in his skin when he heard that word? Who will shepherd my people Israel. Now, verse 7, then Herod secretly called the Magi and ascertained from them the time the star appeared. And he sent them to Jerusalem, saying, go and make careful search for the child, and when you have found him, report to me that I too may come and worship him. So now they're not talking about the infant. They're talking about a child, the one who had been born in Bethlehem. Now they're trying to find him, and he's sending them to go find him. He's using these guys. And so in verse 9, it says, and having heard the king, they went their way, and lo, the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and they came into the house. Not the manger. They came into the house. Why? Because we're several days later. Could be a longer time than that. And they came into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. So let me stop there for a moment. We're seeing the fulfillment in the lives of the Magi. We're seeing the fulfillment of their yearning hope. They saw the star in the east, and they traveled afar. The star in the east, how did they know about it? What did they know? Well, they knew the scriptures out there that hundreds of years earlier, when the children of Israel were in exile out in the east, they continued to practice their faith, and there were priests, and there were teachings, and there were the scriptures, and there were the prophecies. And more than just the Jews were learning about this. And apparently these Magi were the descendants of all of that and were familiar with all of this. And this yearning on their side was, hey, the scriptures say that someday there'll be a Messiah, there'll be some kind of ruler or king born, and there'll be a sign. And they saw this star as the sign. They followed it. Why? Because they had a yearning hope like many others. And off they go. And they go by, and they sing Herod first to kind of get some information. And then Herod tries to use him, as we saw. But after they did find the child with Mary in a house, and they did fall down and worship him and presented their gifts. Verse 12 here in Matthew 2 tells us, and having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their own country by another way. Isn't that fascinating? I love this. Their yearning hope was answered by God. They'd seen the prophecies. It had been handed down to them by their ancestors. They were devout enough to believe the sign when it appeared, and to make the long journey, and to ask all the questions, to finally have an answer to their yearning hope, to be able to see and to worship and honor the Messiah who had come. My friends, I tell you, there's so much that we yearn for in this life, isn't it? We yearn for peace. We yearn for protection. We yearn for provision. Oh, so many things we yearn for. bodies to be healed, relationships to be healed. I mean, so much. Don't lose hope, because the Lord is our eternal hope, who strengthens our fragile hope, blesses our humble hope, honors our trustful hope, and answers our yearning hope. Just as we have seen in this journey through the Christmas story, which began in eternity past, where the scripture says in John 1 that in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Word or Logos was with God, the Word was God, He was in the beginning with God, all things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. And then verse 14, the prophecy of the Christmas story, basically, and the Word, or the Logos, became flesh and dwelt among us, born to a virgin who was told that His name shall be Jesus. Lord, what a story. What a journey. Thank You for being our eternity hope, who planned this from eternity past and invites us into eternity future with You. We receive that, and we will not lose hope, even though it's fragile. We will humbly hope, trustfully hope, and keep yearning for hope, because You are our eternal hope. Oh, thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. I hope you check out my website at markpg.org for more. Until next time, keep falling in love with Jesus, our eternal hope.